Recognizing my colleagues who aren't here, Katie, Kimberly, and Suzanne Schweikert from Planned Parenthood San Diego, and also our partner organizations, which is Planned Parenthood of San Diego in the Riverside County, and Tri-City Health Center, which is in Fremont, California. As Nick mentioned, most of my work has really been overseas, at least since graduate school. And we found working overseas that introducing the standard days method, which is a fertility awareness-based method, which some of you may have heard about, is a really good way of sensitizing programs and providers to the need to address men in family planning counseling. So we thought that maybe this would be an interesting idea to bring back to the United States and see whether introducing a natural family or fertility awareness-based method, along with some other interventions, could be a good way to address some couple issues in birth control family planning counseling. The fertility awareness method, I mentioned the standard days method, which kind of many of you have probably seen floating around booths and so forth. It is to be used effectively. It has to be used both by the man and the woman. It's a couple method. So obviously, if you're working with a program to introduce it, it's very clear that you can't ignore men or couple issues, because there's, you know, all of the couple issues around, you know, are you going to use a condom on the fertile days, or how are you going to talk about it and manage those? So our research questions were, acknowledge our donor, which is the Office of Population Affairs at the very beginning. So our research questions, we have four or five here that I'm going to talk about. The first one is, can we really change provider behavior? So if we train providers to address couples during their counseling, you know, will they actually implement it? Secondly, we wanted to see what clients thought of that. Are they more satisfied? Do they use services more? Does it make, what kind of impact does it have on clients? And most importantly, does it really make a difference in their lives? So does it increase couple communication? Does it increase male involvement? And the bottom line, does it have any effect on satisfaction and continuation and correct family planning use? So our methods here, we have completed the formative research. In fact, we reported on it last year at APHA. Those were in-depth interviews with managers and providers and brief questionnaires with clients and their partners just to kind of develop the intervention. Then we've completed the baseline research, which was simulated client visits. Some of you may know those as mystery client visits, structured interviews with providers, and also structured interviews with clients and their partners. Those took place within a month after receiving services and 3 months later. We're now in the intervention phase. We're, of course, collecting service statistics, and we will be beginning inline data collection in January. So first, let me just give you the background on what the couple-focused approach is that we're testing. Based on the formative research and a lot of back and forth with the organizations involved, we decided that the couple-focused approach for this project would be based on helping women to gain support from their partner for birth control use. And a lot of that is just around the fact that the couple relationship has an influence on family planning use, and family planning use, of course, has an influence on the couple. So trying to work that into the counseling in a way that's feasible in the settings we were working at. Specifically, we asked women or providers to ask a question. That's what we call it, ask one question. So they were asked to bring up in their counseling session, what does your partner think about birth control? And it was a simple question, but it wasn't simple to get them to think that was a good idea, actually. So just to broach the subject, so if women wanted to talk about it, they could. In some settings, they provided women the choice of including their partners in counseling if they desired. We had take-home materials for their partners, encouraging conversation with their partners about male involvement. We included the standard days method as a couple choice, along with the other methods the clinics provided. And then there was some other things about making the clinic more welcoming to men. So today, I'm going to talk to you about the baseline data. Unfortunately, we don't yet have the inline data. And I want to talk about it from the two sides, from the provider side and the client side. So we'll start with what the providers said. So first of all, providers do value male involvement. They think it's important. You can see here, you know, the majority do think that increasing male support, involving couple issues in counseling, could have a positive effect and help women use their family planning more correctly. However, they don't think it's a priority. When you ask them, you know, is this important to your clients? You know, some of them think it's a good thing, but they don't really think of it as very important. In fact, they tend to think that addressing couple issues really is kind of, then you're talking about the man's needs, not the woman. We don't think about it as in terms of, we're talking about couple issues as a way of helping you achieve your goals. So, but, you know, there was still some, you know, there's a feeling that it was a good thing to do, but there were a lot of concerns about it. There was concerns about that it would detract from the efforts to meet women's needs, that there would be problems with protecting women's autonomy, confidentiality was an issue. So this was actually a really big part of our initial few months, trying to work out with the providers how all this would happen. You can see, like, the first quote, we want to make sure the patient's okay with it. It's been engraved in our mind that it's a woman's decision, it's a woman's right. You know, talking about men is a new paradigm for us. Okay, and what about provider practices? According to the providers, this is their interviews, what do they actually do? So as you can say, they don't very often counsel couples, which is to be expected because these are, you know, maternal and child health family planning clinics. And about maybe half of them do discuss the issue of partners with their clients, or at least that's what they're reporting. Then in terms of our simulated clients' results, we found that, you know, according to the simulated clients who were trained to go visit the clinics, and they were trained to raise some issues which would make the providers want to talk about couple issues. Like there's a medical history where they checked on it. There's a box to check. I want to talk more about sex. So they all checked that, yes, but none of the providers actually raised that issue with them. So even though they said they wanted to, and they were supposed to use that medical history to guide them, they didn't raise it. So, you know, less than 20% of the simulated client reported that it was addressed. So then let's talk about what's going on from the client point of view. We have almost 200 clients in this first baseline sample. They're pretty evenly, mean age is 24, fairly evenly divided in terms of university and high school education, English and Spanish, married and unmarried. So kind of a, you know, half and half on most of those. When we asked the clients, most of them were phone interviews. There were a few in one of our more rural sites, a few interviews that were done in person, but the majority were by phone. We got their consent, they gave their phone number, and then our interviewers called them back. They liked the quality of care. They thought they received very good services. But, you know, they reported that maybe in a third of the times did the provider actually raise the issue of couples. Then this was, I thought, a really interesting slide. When we asked the women if they talked to their partner about these issues, it was very high. I mean, 90% said they talked about going to the clinic, they talked about what happened, and even 80% have talked to their provider, to their partner about what they would do if their method failed. So moving on to this finding, which is actually very common. I see it in a lot of research I've done overseas, and it's almost always the same. Who makes the decision to start using birth control? About half, they say both. It's a mutual decision. And when it's not both, it's the woman. But in terms of who actually decides to use the method, it's generally the woman. And when you break this down with more analysis, the both is when they're using condoms. So then the men, of course, are more involved in that decision. So then we talked about, well, how are men actually involved? They're involved helping to make the decision, helping with the method use. They probably don't have as much access to information, frankly. And they, in 25% of the time only do they come to the clinic. Now, on the other hand, you could look at that and say, well, one out of four of your clients are coming to the clinic with their partner. You know, what are you doing to get them involved, to give them information, to educate them? Okay, so this is kind of the last part of my presentation, talking about differences between women who report partner involvement and who don't. So to sum it up in a nutshell, this is what we found. Women who report partner involvement are more likely to be Spanish-speaking or both Spanish and English. We lumped those into one category, small sample. Less educated, high school or lower, condom users, and cohabiting versus married or not living together. Now, the sample's really too small to do multivariate analysis, but we're kind of getting a sense of who these women are, and probably a lot of these things are proxies for similar issues. And then I just kind of show you here the indicators that we use. So, for example, Spanish-speaking women, 84% consider joint decision-making very important compared to 63% of English. Oh, I'm sorry, I mistaked. English and both are together, and Spanish are in one group, which makes more sense. Then if we look at education, we have, you know, almost 80% of high school and below think joint decision-making is very important to them, as opposed to 60% or 59% of university-educated women. Of course, more condom users think that partner involvement is important, and that's kind of no surprise. This slide I hesitate to show because I don't really understand it, but it's showing that cohabiting women are more likely, well, they're unmarried but living together, are more likely to report partner involvement. So we can think about that for a second. And so what is, you know, kind of what does all this mean besides the fact that, you know, we have this all data, we don't have any inline data, and we want to find out what's going on? Well, the way we've used it is to talk with the providers about the fact that sometimes they have, a lot of providers have this sense that, you know, women just don't want, it's not important to them. It's not a priority to them. So we're trying to show them that maybe for some women it's not, but, you know, all of your clients are different. And for some of your clients, maybe your Spanish-speaking clients or other women, this can be very important. So it's something that you really need to take into account, the unique needs of each of your clients, and not assume that all of them don't really want their partner involved. So what's new in terms of our study? Since we reported last year, we have a new study partner in Fremont, California, due to really severe budget cuts. Planned Parenthood San Diego had to end their participation in the study. So we have a new partner in San Francisco and or in Northern California. And one of the great things for us is that they have a teen clinic. So they asked us to adapt our materials and our approach to work with the teens, not so much the natural family planning method, but the other components. And so we found, actually, that we didn't have to adapt things very much. They have a very active teen advisory group. We worked with them. We did a lot of pre-testing. And the changes are pretty much, you know, the format, the pictures, and a little bit of the language. But we're still focusing on the same messages, you know, how to get men involved, how to get talk to your partner, what they can do, as the men really wanted concrete information. You know, what is it? Just tell me what to do. You know, don't say, you should be involved. You know, tell me, use a condom, get a vasectomy, get tested. You know, put the condom on. Whatever you want me to do, you need to be very clear and not vague about it. So we tried to reflect that. And then my personal favorite are our teen quizzes. And I came up with those after, you know, years of poring over my daughter's teen magazines. And the idea is we wanted something else to have in the waiting room. So we have two different ones. One is he says, she says. That's the, of course, the girl fills out one and the boy fills out the other. And they have questions from ranging from, what's your favorite thing to do together? What would you do on your dream date? Do you talk about sex? How do you like to be touched? How do you protect against disease? And then, of course, they fill it out separately, and then they compare the answers. And they get to score themselves on exploring our relationship on the way or sharing shows. So that's been really well. The kids really like this. They enjoy it a lot. Then our other one is a little board game. This is for the girls only. Excuse me. And they start out with, when can a girl get pregnant? Only one or two days a month or many days in a row. So there we're trying to kind of build on our fertility awareness work to teach kids about that. And then things like, if your guy uses a condom and it breaks, you go to the clinic for emergency contraception or pray. And then you go through the whole thing. And at the end, you know, you get scored. You get your score. And then the providers talk about this in their session. They go into counseling after this. And the main thing that they're really learning, which isn't a surprise, is that kids don't know how many days in a row they can get pregnant. So they're doing a lot of education about that. And that's the end. So thank you very much. There's some...